Blog Talk Radio.
The sign in the window said for sale or trade on the last remaining dinosaur Detroit made. $700 was a heck of a deal for a 400 horsepower jukebox on wheels, and that road rolls out like a welcome mat. I don't know where it goes, but it beats where we're.
Close my intros. I have my guests on the line. Hello, Lise.
Yes, hi, it's Lise.
Hi, how you doing? Lise Wheel, Fox News contributor, best-selling author, and all-around great person. Thank you for joining me on my show tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I want to congratulate you on your new book, Heart of Ice, just recently released, Thomas Nelson Publisher. I've had many authors from their publication before. I want to congratulate you on that.
Thank you so much. Very excited. It just came out, so just hitting the bookstores now.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be another runaway bestseller, as your other books have been. Tell us more about your new book, and what's the general premise for those that aren't too familiar with your work?
Sure. Heart of Ice, it's the third in the Triple Threat series, and the Triple Threat is composed of these three very strong women, a federal prosecutor — I used to be a federal prosecutor — a TV reporter, which is what I do now, and a female FBI agent. I worked with a lot of female FBI agents when I was a prosecutor. My dad was an FBI agent, so I have some expertise in that as well. And they come across really the most scary villain that I've written about so far. The villain here, you know right away who the person is. It's less of a mystery and more of a thriller, in the sense that it's not a mystery who the villain is. It's just whether or not the Triple Threat can figure out what she's up to before she can create more havoc. But this is a beautiful, smart, accomplished woman who really meets the definition of a sociopath. She has no remorse in manipulating people around her to get to do what get them to do whatever she wants through manipulation. She has no guilt feelings, and she is very, very, very smooth operator in getting people to carry out criminal acts for her, such as arson and actually even murder.
Well, absent the criminal act, sounds like a couple of my ex-girlfriends. I'm sure we all had situations like that.
Well, that's part of the point of the book too. That
right.
It's not the Jared Loughners of the world, that their pictures are spread out, and we see them, and oh my gosh, everyone could have known that what a horrible person he is. But sometimes it's just the people that you think are quote unquote normal and ambitious and hold down jobs, and they can be the neighbor next door or the friend, or even I don't want to give too much away in the book, but even the person that's giving your child a swimming lesson. I mean, so what I try to do in the book is it's fiction, obviously, but I try to give some lessons that'll help you in your life. Try to figure out, sort of ferret out, what are some of the signs to look for in the people around us, and whether or not they might fit into that kind of profile of being a sociopath.
Yeah, and hopefully, my audience, everybody in the country and the world, doesn't have to deal with those people, but we don't ever really know who that person is, so it's a good thing that you kind of pointed out in the book, and with your expertise in law enforcement and being a federal prosecutor.
Exactly.
The other end of this, obviously, you're not a sociopath, and thank God for that.
Yeah.
You've dealt with a lot of them. So how do you put yourself in the mindset of being, basically being one? Because you have to put yourself, it's basically like acting when you're writing a book, except you're acting maybe like 30, 40 different parts, depending on how robust your book is and how many characters you have in it. How do you put yourself in that mindset? Because it's so much harder than anything else. It's really hard to shift. Really, it's literally from paragraph to paragraph, you're shifting. It's like being schizophrenic almost.
Yeah, certainly with the characters, the three main protagonists, since this is my third book, I mean, I live with their voices in my head, which sounds a little scary, but I know these three women very well at this point. I think I know what they would do in a certain situation, and so I'm very comfortable inside of their skin. But creating the sociopath as another character, you're right. I really had to dig back to my experience as a prosecutor and also a tremendous amount of research into sociopaths, psychopaths, and what propels them and how they think. Because I think the quintessential sociopath really is going back to OJ days, that I really do believe that he believes he didn't do anything, that he didn't kill his ex-wife. You know, and that's a real tell for a sociopath, is they convince themselves that they had nothing to do with it, that they weren't there, it wasn't them, and that they're completely innocent and that everyone's out to persecute them.
Well, the glove didn't fit, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right.
So you're on your massive book tour right now. Is there anything about this that's, that kind of takes away from, actually releasing a book is very exciting, but is there anything about this that really kind of takes away the joy out of it? Is there certain things that just kind of poop the party, so to speak, or is this whole thing just like a, it feels like a never-ending high over this book tour?
You know, it's so exciting to get back. I think what really keeps me going is getting back the notes and messages from folks, and I'm just going to plug my website for a minute. It's leasewheelbooks.com, LASWIEHL, books.com. And getting messages there from people that are reading the book, and, you know, one had a son that was in the hospital, and she said, you know, just really having it there helped her to get through those hours in the waiting room, and another had a broke her wrist, and she said, you know, reading it on Kindle helped her get through the pain of that, and that's what does it for me. It's just knowing that there are people out there that I'm connecting with through my writing and through the story itself that makes, you know, I've made friends that way, and it's just lovely to have that kind of following and readership. So that's what kind of keeps me going day to day.
Right. Now, you've written 5 books now. You've been on Fox News for a long time, and I thoroughly enjoy watching you on the O'Reilly Factor. For a while, I really didn't like watching O'Reilly, but then it kind of grew into me just because his character, and he wants it that way. He likes people to kind of be either really offended by the way he does it, because he's really in your face about it. So
right.
It's great. He puts on a great show. And I love the guests he brings on, including yourself and whomever else he puts with you. I believe Kimberly Guilfoyle sometimes with you, and I think Megyn
right.
Kelly's sometimes also with you as well. How do you balance all this with writing a book and doing all this media stuff? Where do you find the time for it? Or do you just, as you're on the show, doing makeup, stuff like that, you really just hammering out thoughts and putting out pages on, you know, notepads and things like that?
Oh, no, I do a lot of research. I do a lot of research for the shows. I mean, you can't, the point of the matter is you cannot be wrong factually. I mean, people may disagree with me in my opinion on a story, but I have to have my facts right, and I've got to have the law right. That's what I'm supposed to know. That's supposed to be what I'm you know, giving my expertise as. So to keep my credibility, I've got to make sure that I do my research, and that means long hours. I mean, I don't practice law anymore. Between the Fox and the books, that's it for my professional life. But I do a lot of research. I do a lot of work on all of the stories to make sure that I'm giving you accurate information. And then you can disagree or agree with my opinion, but that's something, you know, that at least you know you're going to get the facts right from me. And as far as juggling goes, I think any working person, I've got 2 kids, you know, you put that all in the mix, you're always juggling, and I just think that I'm always juggling, and I hope that when the balls fall, because I know they will, I hope they don't break my toes, because, yeah, I can't keep everything going all the time. You know, there will be things that fall through the cracks, and I just try to do the best I can every day. That's all we can really ask of ourselves.
Well, you're certainly doing a great job of it. As I mentioned, you are a New York Times bestseller. This is your 5th book that you're releasing now, just recently released. You're obviously on Fox News, a place I hope to be on one day. And you're doing so many other things that you're engaged in, obviously, you know, family and things like that. Are you considering writing another book, or are you just really focused on this book right now and, you know, you're not considering something else just at the moment?
Well, right now, Heart of Ice is my focus, and I really want this book to do well, and I hope that with your show, that's gonna bring it up to the New York Times bestseller list. That would be fabulous, and that would be just great, so that we can have another book with Triple Threat. We can have Allison and Cassidy and Nicole again, because I'd love to write another book with these 3 really interesting women. Again, they're strong characters, and they come from different parts of my life. But they're also real women with real foibles and real problems and real issues We deal a lot with, we've dealt with domestic violence, and there's a lot to do with breast cancer in this book. And just, you know, these are real women and real issues that they have to deal with. And it's also available in the Christian bookstores, so you know that these books are not smutty at all. You can,
right.
You know, I'll let my 13-year-old daughter read them, and her friends enjoy them. There aren't any swear words or anything like that. It's a good, clean, fun. It's still fun, but it's a good, clean read. You don't have to worry about, you know, the F-bomb or things like that coming in. It's not going to happen in these books.
Right. And, of course, Thomas Nelson, very very religious publisher, and they've published a lot of great books, and some of the people on Fox News, Judge Andrew Napolitano as well. There is very good, clean content from everything that they put out, and
it's quality. I think when you have to drop swear words every other paragraph in writing, and I would say this before I even started writing the fiction. If you have to do that as a writer, then maybe your story isn't that great. I mean, because, you know, once you've done that once or twice for emphasis, well, that's kind of it, you know. And if you have to keep relying on those kind of mechanisms as a writer, then to me that's a tell that the writing and then the story is just not that compelling if you have to go to that extreme.
Yeah, and it's lazy, too. I mean,
it's lazy, exactly. That's a better way of saying it. You just said it right.
Thank you. And once again, with Lise Wheel, author of the new book, Heart of Ice, just recently released. I encourage everyone to go buy it. Her website, which is Lise Wheel Books, LISWIEHL, books.com. Also on my website, you can get it from there. You can link out right to her site. You can check out her other books, too, which I'd like to talk to you about if you can give us a couple more minutes. I know you
Sure,
did.
You got it.
Sure. So you released a book back in 2007, The 51% Minority, A Woman Still Are Not Equal in What You Can Do About It. It's a very controversial issue, obviously. You have a lot of feminists and a lot of activists and all these people that get involved in this kind of topic, but it's become very politicized. Now, this is something that, I'm in this corporate environment, or semi-corporate environment, and I do see that women can't break through, and in a lot of cases, I mean, myself, I'm only 24 years old, but I was told that I can't get paid more because of my age. Now, imagine if I had that kind of stigma my whole life, because I'm a female, you know, it's wrong. So do you think that's changed since you wrote the book? Do you think it's gotten better? Do you think it's gotten worse? Do you think it's plateaued? What do you think is the situation with that?
I think it's gotten a little better. I think if you look at my first Exhibit A to that would be, and by the way, I'm very impressed at 24 that you've got your own show like this. That's fabulous. And there is definitely ageism as well as sexism out there. So I think you should, I really want to compliment you. That's quite an accomplishment at age 24.
Thank you.
Absolutely. But I think it's gotten a little better, and Exhibit A would be the Supreme Court for me, which is that when I wrote the book, I think we had, I think Sandra Day had just retired, so there was one Supreme Court justice on, female Supreme Court justice, and now there are three. And that's fabulous, and that's really important because, you know, you need to, these are the nine people that are making up the laws or interpreting, excuse me, not making up, interpreting the laws of the country and how they apply to us every day. And it's a so much better representation and an historic representation, really, for us and so for women. I think that's great. Geraldine Ferraro, as you know, the first female vice president who died just a couple of weeks ago, figures kind of prominently in the book. And what she talks about a lot is the apathy for young women. And that is still is a concern for me, is that I think a lot of younger women, sort of women in your age, maybe are a little bit apathetic because they think that we've won all the fights. We, you know, being women, that everything is now, you know, 50-50, and it's still not. I mean, women still aren't earning what a guy in a similar job earns. And until that wage gap is closed, there really won't be equality. That's so critical, especially in these difficult economic times, that women need to be getting paid for the same job just as much as a man would.
Yeah, and I mean, at the same time, you know, there are, you know, roles and gender roles and stuff like that, and a lot of that has been torn down, and a lot of it
absolutely
was torn down. So I'm always happy when I see people such as yourself, such as Sarah Palin, regardless of politics, regardless of what station you're on, it doesn't matter. I always like seeing that somebody being able to break through and being able to get to a high position. You are, you know, federal prosecutor now. You've changed career paths. You're an author. You're a legal analyst, a contributor, all this kind of stuff. So you're able to really spider yourself out and do so many different things. Whereas maybe 40, 50 years ago, it wouldn't have been like that.
It wouldn't have been possible. Right. No. It's gotten so much better. I am very, very optimistic for all, you know, all of us going forward, and for women especially. And as I, you know, I really think that women's equality is so important for men because, I mean, let's face it, someday, you know, you'll be married and you'll have kids and you're going to want your wife to be earning what she can be earning as well, because that's going to help your family. You don't want her out there earning 75 cents on a dollar, because that's going to hurt your family. That's going to hurt your budget. So it's not just about, you know, helping women. It's about being fair to families and being fair to all of us.
100%. And at the end of the day, you know, if I look at my mother and just like anything else, I don't want to make it too emotional because I'm going to look like a wuss. And I don't want to look like a wuss. But when I look at my mother and I can't even fathom the fact that somebody might say, you know what, you can't do something because you're a female or whatever. It's just,
right.
It's unacceptable to me. And I'm glad that you and a lot of other women out there are really just continuing to break through the walls and break through the barriers and making that glass ceiling invisible to us, and you know, making it out of cotton so you could just really just pull yourself.
Exactly. I like that analogy very much. It should be a cotton ceiling.
Thank you so much. And where's your book tour taking you next, just to kind of shift gears back?
I'm really pretty much in New York. I'm going to be in Pittsburgh on April 20th, and then I'm just in New York doing the media from here, which is, you know, wonderful, because I can go on the shows via satellite from New York. The idea of traveling on the road for a book is fairly outdated now. Not many people do that. Because it's, especially if you're in a, you know, major metropolitan area.
Right.
So that's great. And my kids, I think, maybe they won't admit it, but I think they appreciate having mom at home to cook dinner for them at night.
Right. Well, I definitely appreciate that. I always love the home-cooked meals. Nothing beats that. And nothing beats being able to, to do what you do and be able to do it comfortably. Once again, Lise Wheel, best-selling author, Fox News contributor, Fox News legal analyst now as well. To catch on the O'Reilly Factor. I think it's every Tuesday.
It's every Tuesday. Yeah, every Tuesday night, catch me on O'Reilly with Is It Legal? And every Wednesday morning, you can catch me at 7:30 Eastern Time with Don Imus. And then I'm kind of all over the place with Fox News on different appearances.
You go kind of hard on Bill O'Reilly sometimes. Is it just when the cameras go off, you guys kind of quiet each other? Or what's that about?
I'm sorry, I look kind of what?
No, you go at Bill once in a while. Sometimes you push back, and you push back very well against him, and he doesn't say
oh,
like,
yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I did radio. I did a radio show with him for 7 years. So, I was locked in a small room for 7 years for 2 hours a day. And so we would have big fights on air, off air, and that's just it sometimes it just keeps going even off air. But I have no hesitation to say what I think, and sometimes he'll cut me off, and it's his show. It's not called The Wheel Factor. It's called The O'Reilly Factor. So he gets the last word, but I try to get a few words in as well.
Well, you're doing a great job with that, and thank you so much. Good luck in your book, Heart of Ice, leasewheelbooks.com, LISWIEHL, books.com, and you can catch it on my website as well. You can link out right from there, purchase the book, read it, and don't get scared. It's
exactly.
Just a book.
It's good, clean fun.
Yeah. So congratulations
right.
to the book once again.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me on your program.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on.
You got it. Take care. Say hi to your mom.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.